energy so stale in the air. Everybody's running scared. We used to be so carefree. We used to be so happy. We used to have everything we need. Now we gotta
welcome to Village Mentality, where melanated people are connected in spirit, love, and community. What's up, kings and queens, beautiful people everywhere? It's your girl, CK McGee, and I'm your host. Hey there, beautiful people. How's everyone doing? I pray that you're all doing as well as you can be. Welcome to another episode of Village Mentality. Now, I'm so glad as always to have you here with me in the village, and you're welcome to join me each and every Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I'd also like to give a very warm welcome to those of you who may be tuning in for the very first time. And if you're looking to see what Village Mentality is all about, then you're welcome to catch up on all previous episodes of Village Mentality on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Anchor, Radio Public, and The Awakened Lounge. And I also provide links to each episode on both Instagram and Facebook, and I'll share those with you at the end of the show. But thanks again to all of you for joining. As a mental health and wellness advocate with lived experience with mental health conditions, each week I'll be talking about different topics that could impact our mental health. Now, I'm focused on BIPOC communities because as an African American woman, I'm extremely concerned about communities of color and their mental health. Now, as far as mental health is concerned, it really doesn't matter who you are or where you're from, because we can all be impacted, and that is something that we all must know and understand. Now, we may not all have mental illness, but we do all have mental health, and we need to make sure that we're taking care of it. Now, the purpose of this podcast is to bring awareness to the many different ways in which our mental health can be affected, showing that poor mental health outcomes are not always caused by chemical imbalance, but it can also be from the various stressors, trauma, or circumstances that we all face from time to time in our lives through education and advocacy by individuals like myself who have lived experience, whether it be with mental health conditions or substance use. The hope is that we'll be able to show up in more effective ways to support those around us that may be suffering. The stigma of mental illness and conversations about our mental health can be more difficult for marginalized and intersectional groups, and it interferes with our ability to take care of our mental health as we should. Now, self-care, it's very important. It's a very important tool that I encourage us all to use in our daily lives, or to at least set aside some time for it on the weekends. Now, there are so many different ways that we can practice self-care, especially when it's viewed holistically. The benefits of learning to take care of ourselves extends beyond us, and it has a positive impact on all those whom we encounter. Now, for someone who may be in crisis or who's experiencing emotional distress, self-care will be the furthest thing from your mind, and that is completely understandable. You know, self-care is something that you grow into. It's not actually an automatic practice, especially if you've been in crisis. But what's important about it is that when we begin the process of learning how to identify the things that we need to do in order to take better care of ourselves, not only do you feel good, but you'll be able to show up for others more effectively. Self-care as a whole involves tending to our bodies, our intellect, our mind, practical needs, social needs, and our spirit. The practice that self-care brings, beautiful people, the practice of self-care, it's something that we need to make time for, okay? There are simple ways that you can practice self-care that only take like 10 minutes a day, right? It can be as easy as taking a walk outside around the block, you know, just getting out and getting some fresh air, calling a friend you haven't spoken to in a long time. Laughter has always been very good to help lift our moods and for you to feel better. You can journal or brain dump. Sometimes writing those things down that are in your mind, you know, and on your heart, it can be very therapeutic to get them out in the open, right? Perhaps you can do a guided meditation or a body scan so that it can bring some relaxation to your entire body. Eat a healthy snack. And you know, Village, I don't know what I would do without music, so creating a playlist might be an option for you as well. Now, practicing mindfulness, this, of course, is an exercise which, again, focuses on breathing. And that's something that I need to work on a lot because there are times when I feel like I'm not breathing. I guess getting that whole, you know, breath in your body from your head down to your toes type of thing, I need to do that more often. And it is a way for us to kind of calm down our nervous system, right? If you have to-do list, being able to check things off gives you a sense of relief. So when you work to nurture all parts of yourself, there's a better chance that you're going to be happier and feel more balanced. Self-care, it's for everyone. And we need to realize that it's about self-preservation. Kings and queens, think about all that we do to take care of everything else that matters to us in our lives. But we're hesitant and we feel guilty when we're doing the same thing for ourselves. We need to put things into the proper perspective with regard to our overall health. We need to do everything we can in order to replenish all that energy that we put out into the world. And, you know, as we're doing for others, it really, again, does benefit them. So please take some time to practice self-care. Check in with your needs and live each day in a way that protects your mental health because it's an integral part of your total well-being. Self-care, it helps us to rejuvenate our spirits and souls so that we can continue to be the fantabulous kings and queens that we most definitely are. And I'll be right here to remind us of that fact each and every chance I get. You dig? Now, if you've heard this show before, then you know that there'll be plenty of music too. So this evening, we'll be listening to some of the top 40 hits from 1990. So I hope that you'll sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Now, without further ado, I believe that it's time for me to take my first walk of the evening to my musical jukebox. Our first song of the evening comes from this American singer and icon who is still going strong to this day. Now, this song is from her second soundtrack album, I'm Breathless, which was released in 1990. She was inspired by dancers Jose and Luis Extravaganza from the Harlem house ball community. Now, this is a house song which sets trends in dance music with strong influences from 70s disco. This song has always been a hit, honey, and as a matter of fact, it is one of her biggest international hits, topping the charts in over 30 countries. This song was certified double platinum, making it the first single by a female artist earning a multi-platinum certification since the introduction of that level by the Recording Industry Association of America in 1984. Here's the one and the only Madonna with her smash hit, Vogue. Thank you.
like a pose.
Thank you.
That was Phil Collins with Another Day in Paradise. It was released as the first single from his number one album, But Seriously. This song focused on homelessness and paradise, and it was a departure from his previous album, No Jacket Required. Collins sings the song from a third-person perspective as he observes a man crossing the street to ignore a homeless woman. And he implores listeners not to turn a blind eye to homelessness because by drawing a religious allusion, it's just another day for you and me in paradise. This song was his seventh and final Billboard Hot 100 number one single, and it won a Grammy Award for Record of the Year in 1991. Well, Village, you know me. I'd like to take a little bit of time to talk about some things, whether it be about current events, entertainment, or something that's just on my mind. So why don't we get into my segment called Let's Talk About It. Beautiful people, May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and this month is used to advocate, educate, and bring awareness to the many different aspects of our mental health and mental illness. There's something that I believe is important to talk with you about, Village, and it's that new three-digit number, the 988 number, which is the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline. Now, I know that I spoke about this last year, you know, when it first came out, but it's always good to talk about it from time to time because it's important to understand when to use it. I think that we all may remember that the purpose of this new three-digit code was to make it easier for someone who may be in distress. You know, instead of dialing that 10-digit number, the 1-800-273-8255 number, and also to ensure that the response to someone who's experiencing a mental health crisis or who is in distress, that it would be someone who is a mental health professional, okay, so that they're able to receive the resources that could aid in their recovery journey. Now, if you are helping someone and they are in distress, there are some things for you to remember, okay? If you know someone who's struggling emotionally or having a hard time, you can be the difference in getting them the help that they need. And so it's important to take care of yourself when you're supporting someone else through a difficult time, as this may stir up a lot of difficult emotions, all right? And if it does, please be sure to reach out for support for yourself, all right? So now, how do you determine if someone needs your help? Well, there are some warning signs that may help you to determine if a loved one is at risk for suicide, especially if the behavior is new or it's increased, or if it seems related to a painful event, loss, or change. If you or someone you know exhibits any of these, seek help by calling the Lifeline. So here are some things, Village, for us to look for if we're supporting someone, you know, that we're concerned about. They might be in distress, okay? So if they're talking about wanting to die or to kill themselves, they're looking for a way to kill themselves, like searching online or buying a gun. If they're talking about feeling hopeless or having no reason to live, talking about feeling trapped or in unbearable pain, if they think they're a burden to others, if you notice an increase in their use of alcohol or drugs, if they're acting anxious or agitated, behaving recklessly, if you notice they're sleeping too little or too much, they're withdrawing or isolating themselves, showing rage or talking about seeking revenge, and if you notice that they have extreme mood swings, these are some of the things that you would want to address with 988, okay? Now, you can contact a Lifeline center because you never want to keep it a secret if a friend or a loved one tells you about a plan to hurt themselves. So call 988 so that you can find out what resources are available in your area or encourage your loved one to call. Now, calls are routed to the Lifeline center closest to your area code, and that can provide you with local resources. Now, Village, you know that I can go on and on and on, but as always, I encourage you to do your own research so that you can learn the best approach for you. If you're struggling right now, please know that you're not alone and that there are people out here that are willing and able to help you. You matter. Your life matters. So please reach out. Here's to brighter days. Okay, kings and queens, You know that here at The Village, Black history is American history, and I'm committed to talking about Black history all year round. Now, I have to warn you, Village, that this one right here, it was hard for me to read, and it may be hard for you to listen to. But nonetheless, we must learn about all parts of our history, the good, the bad, and the ugly. All right? And this is one of those uglies. So on this day in Black history, May 24th, 1911, shortly before midnight, a mob of dozens of armed white men broke into the Ofuskee County Jail in Oklahoma, Oklahoma. They abducted Laura Nelson and her young son, LD. The mob took the black woman and her boy 6 miles away and hanged them from a bridge over the Canadian River close to the black part of town. According to some reports, members of the mob also raped Mrs. Nelson, who was about 28 years old, according to census records, before lynching her alongside her son. Their bodies were found the next morning. A few weeks before, local police had reportedly come to the Nelson's cabin and accused Mr. Nelson of stealing meat. When a white deputy sheriff was shot and killed while searching the cabin, Mrs. Nelson and LD, who was reported to be between the ages of 14 to 16 years old in the news, but was more likely just about 12, and that's according to the census records as well, they were accused of killing him. So the entire Nelson family was arrested and jailed after the deputy's shooting. And some reports indicate that there was also a 2-year-old daughter listed as Carrie Nelson in the 1910 census. All right. Now, apparently the daughter was also in jail with Mrs. Nelson. Now, the prosecution's presentation at the preliminary hearing raised doubts about whether the state had sufficient evidence for a conviction. Many black people were lynched across the U.S. under accusations of murder or assault. During this era of racial terror, mere suggestions of black-on-white violence could provoke mob violence and lynching. Though these communities had developed and functioning judicial systems, white defendants were more likely to face trial, while black people regularly suffered death at the hands of a violent mob. And that was without a trial or any opportunity to present evidence of innocence or self-defense. Now, in this case, after Laura and L.D. Nelson were lynched, it was revealed that they claimed to have shot the deputy as he reached for his gun and seemed about ready to shoot Mr. Nelson unprovoked. Before any trial could take place, however, newspaper accounts sensationalized the case, misreporting the mother's and son's ages and presuming their guilt. Press reports describe Laura Nelson as very small of stature, very black, about 35 years old, and vicious, while LD was described as slender and tall, yellow and ignorant, and oh, let's not forget, raged. By the night of the lynching, Mrs. Nelson's husband and LD's father, whose first name is reported as either Oscar or Austin, that's kind of two different names, in surviving records, he had already been convicted of a lesser offense, sentenced to a prison term, and sent to the penitentiary. So he wasn't even there to defend his family against the mob. Unconfirmed reports vary regarding the fate of the Nelson's young daughter. Now, some claim that she was found drowned in the river, while others claim that she was found alive and taken in to be raised by a local black family. After a black boy reportedly found Laura Nelson's and L.D. Nelson's hanging corpses at the bridge the next morning, hundreds of white people from Oklahoma came to view the bodies. Some even posed on the bridge to have their photos taken with the bodies of the dead black woman and her son. and those photographs were later reprinted as postcards, wish you were here, and sold at novelty stores. Did you hear what I said? The photographs taken of those bodies, okay, were later reprinted as postcards. You know those things that you send when you go off on vacation, right? And they were sold at novelty stores. You know, most times you go into one of those novelty stores and you might buy a t-shirt that says, I love New York. But in this case, you can buy a postcard that has bodies that are hanging from bridges. Wow. Now, the mob's choice to deprive the Nelsons of their basic rights to due process and hang them on a bridge, frequented by black people and near where many local black residents lived, it was meant to maintain white supremacy by sending a message of terror and intimidation to the entire black community. While the general sentiment is adverse to the method, the Oklahoma Ledger wrote a day after the lynchings, it is generally thought that the Negroes got what they deserved. Even proceedings supposedly held to investigate the Nelsons' deaths were steeped in racism. When a special grand jury was called to investigate the lynching, the district judge instructed the white jurors to be mindful of their duty as members of a superior race and greater intelligence to protect this weaker race. No one was ever indicted, prosecuted, or held legally accountable for lynching Laura and L.D. Nelson. Now, Mrs. Nelson and her son were two of at least 75 documented victims of racial terror lynching that took place in Oklahoma between 1877 and 1950. And they were among more than 6,500 victims of racial terror lynching that was by, you know, the Equal Justice Initiative. That's what they recorded. And this was between 1865 and 1950. Now, when I saw the year 1950 Village, I realized that this is during my mother's time. You know, that's how close it is that she's alive when this kind of behavior is still taking place. And that is Black History Wednesday. Up next is a song by this English singer, songwriter, and actress who comes from which comes from her debut studio album, Affection. This song was nominated for the Grammy Award for Best Female Pop Performance at the 33rd Annual Grammy Awards. And additionally, she was nominated for the Grammy Award for Best New Artist. Here's Lisa Stansfield with All Around the World.
Never give up looking for my baby.
I can't find my baby. I don't know when
British R&B band featured the Reggae Philharmonic Orchestra in this next song. It is an alternate version of a song that appears on their secondary debut album, Club Classics Volume 1, which was released in 1989. Now, the title Keep On Moving is what we knew this record as here in the U.S. This song gained popularity in both America and Europe, topping the charts in the Netherlands and in the UK, and it peaked at number 4 here in the US. The group won their first Grammy Award for Best R&B Performance by a Duo or Group with Vocal with the song in 1990. So here's Soul to Soul with one of my favorite jams, Back to Life. And when we come back, I will get into today's topic.
Back to life, back to reality, back to life, back to reality.
However they want.
Okay, beautiful people, I'd like to talk with you this evening about cultivating compassion. And as always, I was interested in learning about the impact that it has on our mental health. Now, one of the most important things to remember about cultivating compassion for yourself and others is that it can lead to healthier relationships, right? Which is what we want. According to Taylor Crouch, who is a licensed clinical psychologist and assistant professor in the Department of Psychiatry at Virginia Commonwealth University School of Medicine, there are some people out there who are concerned that self-compassion will make them lazy or self-indulgent. But self-compassion is very different from being self-indulgent, okay? Now, what it's really about is having the attitude that we'd like to be as healthy as we can, you know, living the best life that we can by making the necessary changes in our lives from a place of self-care and self-love. One of the things that we can do is to practice paying attention to the inner critic and that harsh inner voice of ours that totally can tear us apart. And we need to replace that, right, with a kinder, more compassionate voice, using kinder and more compassionate words. As we focus more on self, whether it's self-love, compassion, value, worth, etc., we work to establish on a daily basis a practice of self-care that allows us to do the things that we need to do in order to replenish all that energy that we give taking care of others, right? Now, it can be something, again, as simple as taking a 10-minute walk, listening to your favorite music. You know, it doesn't have to be anything extravagant. Now, here's something that we may not even consider about self-care, and this is why I'm sure that I need to make mention of it. You know, self-care, again, it's for everyone. And self-love can also be a form of self-advocacy. Yes, that's right. Speaking up for ourselves, advocating for our needs and wants in our personal relationships can be difficult, and it can make us feel vulnerable, all right? Now, there is a large body of psychological research that shows that self-compassion and self-love have a strong impact on our mental health and our emotional state, both in terms of decreasing anxiety, depression, anger, and loneliness. And it also increases support and encouragement for ourselves. Now, our positive state can increase feelings of happiness, gratitude, and connectedness to other people. And self-compassion allows us to calm down our nervous system and turn down the self-critical voices, which allows us to engage more with our world and the people that are important to us. The more compassionate that we are with ourselves, the more compassionate we will be towards other people, right? Doesn't that make sense? I think so. Now, self-compassion increases our motivation and our energy to do the things that are important to us. When we are compassionate towards ourselves, it opens the door for us to be accepting and loving toward other people. When we're stuck in a negative state in our mind, even if it's just toward ourselves and it doesn't have anything to do with anybody else, the emotional impact can close us off from connecting to other people. So one of the main components of self-compassion is keeping in mind the common humanity and awareness that your experiences are, you know, connected to other people's experiences. We're all in this together, okay? And more times than you realize, once you begin talking to people, you'll come to know that we're more alike than we are different, you know, especially in our experiences. So you're not alone. So it's important to, you know, to know that everyone suffers, and it allows us to be more empathetic and compassionate with ourselves as well as other people. And it's good for friendships and intimate relationships, right? As humans, we're wired for connection with other people, whether it's through words or spending time together or, you know, just physical touch. We need to be connected to others, and that degree of connection directly impacts our mental health. Now, currently, I don't know if you guys have heard about this. I think they talk about it from time to time in the news, but there is an epidemic of loneliness in our society right now. Even though we have other ways of connecting, you know, through technology, social media, more people are reporting that they feel lonely than ever before. And that's related to things like depression, anxiety, physical health problems, and our emotional well-being. Now, most of us are better at being kind and loving toward other people than we are to ourselves. Beautiful people, I'm a witness to that, right? Caring about others more than I do myself, treating them better than I treat myself in a lot of ways. Yeah, I can identify to that. How about you? Because I tell you what, it definitely impacts your mental health in a negative way. But if you're someone who's caring and loving toward other people, then you can ask yourself, how would I talk to my best friend right now? Or what would I tell my partner if they were struggling with this or with that? What kind of tone of voice would I use if I was speaking to someone who was suffering? And how would I show up for someone else? So flipping your inner dialogue to explore how to help another person can be used as a tool to find ways to better support yourself. Huh. I mean, think about it, right? It makes sense when you think about it. Here's to brighter days.
I'm about to be one with thee.
That was the late, great Luther Vandross. I miss him, Village. And this was his song, Here and Now, which was written by David L. Elliott, Terry Steele, and Charles Casino White. Here and Now became his fifth single, and it peaked at number one on the Hot Black Singles chart, and it was his first single to chart in the top 10 on the Billboard Hot 100, peaking at number six. And it was followed by Ready or Not, by the group After Seven. Now, this song was released from their debut album of the same name, and it became the first number one R&B single for the group. It was also the group's first top 10 pop single, peaking at number seven on the Billboard Hot 100. Now, Ready or Not was certified gold on August 14th, 1990. All right, beautiful people, it's time for this week's inspirational story. Our inspirational story this week is entitled Brotherhood. Brotherhood. Here's the story. Ram received a car from his brother as a birthday present. And one day when Ram came out of his office, he noticed a child who spent most of his time in the streets, walking around the shiny new car, admiring it. "Is this your car?" he asked. Ram nodded and said that it was a birthday gift from his brother. The boy was astounded. "You mean to tell me that your brother gave you this car and it didn't cost you a thing?" He then overheard the kid say, "Boy, I wish." Now Ram, he thought he knew what the boy meant. You know, that he was wishing that he had a brother just like he did. But he was surprised when the boy said that he wished that he could be a brother like that. That's powerful. Astonished, Ram asked if the boy would like to take a ride in his car. And the boy said yes, he would love that. Now, after a short ride, the boy turned and with his eyes aglow said, "Would you mind driving in front of my house?" Ram smiled a little, once again thinking that he knew what the boy wanted. He must want to show his neighbors that he rode home in this gorgeous big car. But Ram was wrong again, which usually seems to be the case when we assume, huh? Now, he asked him, "Will you stop where those two steps are?" And the boy ran upstairs, and he was gone for a minute. But when he came back, he was not coming very quickly because he was carrying his little brother, who was paralyzed. He sat him down on the bottom step and then sort of squeezed up against him and pointed to the car. "There it is, brother. Like I told you upstairs, his brother gave it to him, and it didn't cost him a penny. Someday, I'm going to give you one just like it, and then you can see for yourself all the pretty things in the shop windows that I've been trying to tell you about." Ram got out and lifted the boy to the front seat of the car, while his older brother climbed in beside him, and the three of them began a memorable ride. Now, Village, what's the moral of this story? Well, sometimes thinking about things in a different way can open up a world of possibilities.
You can't touch this. You can't touch this. You can't touch this. You can't touch this. My music hits me so hard, makes me say, "Oh my Lord, thank you for blessing me with a mind to rhyme and do like me. It feels good when you know you're down. A super dope homeboy from the Oak Town, and I'm known as such, and this is a beat you can't touch. I told you, homeboy, you can't touch this. Yeah, that's how we living, and you know you can't touch this. Look in my eyes, man, you can't touch this. Yo, let me bust the funky lyrics. Fresh new kicks and bands. You got it like that. Now you know you wanna dance. So move out of your seat and get a fire girl and catch this beat while it's rolling. Hold on, pump a little bit and let the noise go on like that. Like that. Pull a little bit, just fall on back. Let them know that you're too much. And this is a beat they can't touch. Yo, I told you, you can't touch this. Why you standing there, man? You can't touch this. Yo, sound the bell, school is in, sucker. You can't touch this. Give me a song, a rhythm, making them sweat. That's what I'm giving them now. They know, you're talking about the hammer. You're talking about a show that's hyped and tight. Singles are sweating, so fast them a white or a tape. To learn, what's it gonna take in the 90s to burn the charts? Legit, either work hard or you might as well quit. That's word, because you know you can't touch this. Can't touch this. Break it down. Stop. Hammer time. Go with the flow. It is said if you can't prove the list, then you probably are dead. So wave your hands in the air. Bust a few moves. Run your fingers through your hair. This is it. For a winner, dance to this, and you're gonna get there. Touch this. Look, man, you can't touch this. You better get a hype, boy, cause you know you can't touch this. Ring the bell, school's back in. Break it down. Stop, have a time. Touch this. You can't touch this. You can't touch this. Break it down. Stop. Hammer time. Every time you see me, the hammer's just so hype. I'm going. Stop doing this without us making records.
Nancy Hammer, Yo Hammer, and the rest can't go in play. Can't touch this. Can't touch this.
That was MC Hammer with You Can't Touch This, which was written and produced by him. It was released as the third single from his third album, Please Hammer, Don't Hurt Him, released in 1990, and it has been considered his signature song. Along with Hammer, Rick James shares songwriting credits with Alonzo Miller, as the song does sample the prominent opening riff of Rick James' song, Super Freak, which was released in 1981. Now, the song has been used and referred to in many television shows, films, commercials, and other forms of media. Now, it also received multiple awards and recognition. The song is notable as the winner of the Grammy Award for the Best R&B Song and a Grammy Award for Best Rap Solo Performance. It was the first rap song to be nominated for a Grammy Award for Record of the Year at the 33rd Annual Grammy Awards. As well, it received the MTV Video Music Award for Best Rap Video and the MTV Video Music Award for Best Dance Video in 1990. It peaked at number one on the Billboard Hot R&B Hip Hop Singles and Tracks chart, and it charted in several countries. And it was followed by Nothing Compares to You, a song that was written and composed by Prince for his side project, The Family. The song featured, it was featured on their 1985 debut album called The Family, and the lyrics explored feelings of longing from the point of view of an abandoned lover. Now, several years later, Irish singer-songwriter Sinead O'Connor recorded a version of the song for her second studio album, I Do Not Want What I Haven't Got, also released in 1990. It was released as the album's second single in early 1990, and it became a worldwide hit. Now, O'Connor produced the record with Nellie Hopper, and its music video was directed by John Mayberry, receiving heavy rotation on MTV. In December of 1990, Billboard named Nothing Compares to You as the number one world single of 1990 at its first Billboard Music Awards. Well, kings and queens, it looks like we've come to the end of another show. I do hope that the information provided will be of help to you. Remember, it's always, always, always a good idea to do your own research no matter what the topic is, especially if your life is involved. It has been both my pleasure and honor to be here in the village with you, and it feels that way to me each and every week. So thank you again for tuning in this week, and I look forward to being with you all again here in the village every Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Please be sure to follow Village Mentality on Instagram at villagementality.ckm as in Mary, and on Facebook at Village Mentality, the podcast. You can also catch all episodes of Village Mentality on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Anchor, Radio Public, and there are links to each episode that I provide. First, on Instagram at villagementality.ckm as in Mary, and Facebook at Village Mentality, the podcast. You can also listen to it at theawakenedlounge.com/village-mentality. And just remember that God has got me and he's got you too. Be blessed, beautiful people, and here's to brighter days.
Energy so stale in the air. Everybody's running scared. We used to be so carefree. We used to be so happy. We used to have everything we need.
Yeah, right.